Hi, everyone. I'm John C. Morley, the host of the J. Moore Tech Talk Show and Inspirations for Your Life. Well, hey guys, it is John C. Morley here, serial entrepreneur. It is great to be with you again on another wonderful Friday for another J. Moore Tech Talk Show. Oh, forgot to put my hat on there, guys. Can't forget to put my hat on. I'm looking at the screen here and I'm like, hey, my hat's not lighting up. There we go. That's better. So if you guys didn't notice it, it's believemeachieve.com. It is a Saturday. Excuse me, it is a Friday. It's March 22nd, 2024. We actually just have one more Saturday left in the month of March, and March is over, and hopefully we'll start seeing some warmer weather. I know about you, but I'm looking forward to some warmer weather. All right, guys, let's get right into the show. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, and if you guys didn't know, every single day I post all these great things about different technology, stuff that's happening, and then on the Friday, I kind of get into it a little deeper than just the summary I give you each day. And, of course, some other great tips, too. So let's get right into this. First of all, thank you for being here. I really do appreciate that. Do be sure to show me some love by scanning the QR code, going to what my hat says, which is believemeachieve.com. And you'll notice my allergy is a little better today. If you guys were watching me yesterday, because I do the daily, had a little bit of honey, and that honey really helps. A little trick about that. When you take honey, if you have allergies to pollen, by taking that natural honey, it actually gets the system slightly exposed to the, and when you get the massive hit, it doesn't affect the body so strongly. I had the pollen, and within a couple hours, my headache, I think the only thing I have right now is a slight sniffle, but I mean, I couldn't even stand before. So thank you so much for being here with me. Our show topic is Tech Turmoil Unveiled. Series 3, we're on show number 12, and we're on the way up, guys. All right, I don't know if you guys are McDonald's fans, not me. But anyway, something interesting happened to the Golden Arches not too long ago. Yes, they had to apologize for their global system outage that shut down many stores for hours. So McDonald's basically had some challenges because they use a system to provide ordering. In fact, when their ordering system goes down, they quickly learned that they're crippled, that they can't do anything because there's no way to take orders unless you use the system. Now, according to the London Associated Press, McDonald again apologized for the global technology outage that had affected many restaurants for hours, not minutes, hours. The company said, quote, the outage was caused by a third-party technology provider and was not a cybersecurity issue. It started around 12 a.m. CDT time during a configuration change and was close to being resolved about 12 hours later, the Chicago-based company said, close quote. They also said, quote, reliability and stability of our technology are a priority. And I know how frustrating it can be when there are outages. I understand that this impacts you, your restaurants, teams, and our customers. Quote, Brian Rice, the company's global chief information officer, as he made in the statement. They also said, quote, what happened today has been an exception to the norm. And we are working with absolute urgency to resolve it. Thank you for your patience. And we sincerely apologize for any inconvenience this has caused. So this is all a bunch of mumbo jumbo, like talk. This is all just CEO talk, trying to, you know, basically band-aid things. I mean, they did not have a backup system. If McDonald's order system goes down, well, they're done. They're done. And what I want to say to you is that I don't know if this really was an accident. I don't mean by McDonald's standards. I mean by the third-party company. It might be something that they did to prove that they had them by the you-know-what. And so maybe they didn't realize how in debt they were to them. But when they made them aware of it, first thing I would have done if I had known that is now I'd be planning to get away from this company because we have no way to get up and running if we go down. There's no backup system. I mean, this is terrible. If a system goes down, like, you know, from online, there should still be a backup system in line that could still work in a very local context. But this configuration change, basically, no pun intended, it red bricked them. Not permanently, but bricked them. So what do I mean by bricked? Well, we would talk about this a long time ago when we say an iPhone is bricked. What do we mean by that? So it's not responding. It can be categorized as bricked. A non-working condition could be anything. Mostly an iPhone is called bricked when it's not able to boot or respond to any inputs. How do you fix a bricked phone? Well, you can try to force and restart the phone. Quickly release the volume up button, quickly. Press and quickly release the volume down button. Press and hold the button until an Apple logo appears and then release the side button. It can take up to 20 seconds. So quickly release the up button, quickly release the volume button. So the up button and quick release the volume down button. So one, two, and then hold the side button until an Apple logo appears and then release the side button. And it could take about 20 seconds. So I think that what went on with Apple, oh, not Apple, excuse me, with McDonald's, I think this was intentional. This is my feeling. The next question you're probably asking is, you know, who handles McDonald's ordering system as a vendor? Well, off the top of my head, if I had to, McDonald's went through this new, you know, pilot voice drive-through system and some other stuff. They have this new self-ordering system. Kiosk ordering system. They use, there are two different makes to McDonald's kiosk. One is Diebold, which you see at the banks. The other one is Zivelo, Z-I-V-E-L-O. The thing is, I mean, they made the system very, let's say, ironclad, but the software was not really great. And so I don't know who did the design, but I feel that, you know, whatever went on, I just feel that they didn't have a firm understanding of what was going on. And, you know, I have to say shame on you, McDonald's, because if you don't have a way of managing your technology and knowing that there's got to be a backup, then shame on you. Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. All these apologies you give, they're all just, you know, nothing. They're just a facade. They're just a political statement. But really, they don't do anything for me. I don't even think you guys really mean to be sorry. I think you just are doing it because it's the appropriate cultural thing to do. But I think you just are not really sorry. It's just the revenue that you're caring about. Well, Apple settlement over an iPhone sales in China. This is very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. So Apple, yes, had to give some money back. Apple agreed to pay $490 million to settle a class action lawsuit alleging CEO Tim Cook, who misled investors, they said, about a steep downturn in iPhone sales in China that culminated in a jarring revision to the company's revenue forecast. Thus, they had to fork over $490 million. So even Apple has to pay the piper when they make mistakes. We know Google has to pay the piper. Facebook, Meta, Nobody is impetuous to not paying the piper when they do wrong. Well, we thought we could never touch them. Lyft and Uber, you know, they used to be okay, but I don't know. I don't even want to use them much anymore because, first of all, I don't like the fact that they have become so bad with customer service. It's like non-existent. And that's a problem for me. But you know what's really a problem for me? What happened? Lyft and Uber's exit from Minneapolis. Now, you might say, John, who the heck cares? Well, on March 14th, 2024, at 6:33 p.m., this was put into the Minneapolis Associated Press, Lyft and Uber said, and I quote, "They will cease operations in Minneapolis after the city's council voted Thursday to override a mayor veto and require that ride-hailing services increase driver wages to the equivalent of the local minimum wage of $15.57 per hour." I think it's a fair request of what they're asking. And they're going to stop operations there. Lyft called the ordinance, and I quote, "deeply flawed," saying in a statement that it supports a minimum earning standard for drivers, but not the one passed by council. Okay, so if you support a minimum earning standard, what were you going to give them, a whole lousy quarter? I mean, let's be serious, Lyft. Let's be serious, Uber. I mean, you guys just grub money off people, but you don't really want to pay people. I know drivers that work for you, and you treat them like crap. So really, I don't think the issue is that Lyft and Uber should say it's flawed. I think the flaw is not with the government. I think the flaw is with Lyft and Uber. And I think they need to be put under the microscope, or I think they maybe should go under a class action lawsuit. So doing things in an honest way, keeping services affordable for riders is important. But they claim that the ordinance makes our operations unsustainable. As a result, they're shutting down operations in Minneapolis when the law takes effect on May 1st. Uber did not mention or immediately respond to a request for comment, but other news outlets reported that it used a similar statement saying it would also stop service that same day. So I guess Lyft doesn't care about their drivers. Lyft and Uber don't care about their drivers. They don't. The only company I can say that's worse than them, it's got to be Grubhub. I knew some people that worked for them. And they were just terrible people. Terrible, the company. My friend said he could never get anybody. And the only way he could, reject a call for something, even if it was too far, he had to find a reason that it was a safety. And that was what he had. If there was a safety violation, then they wouldn't, you know, ding him for it. Otherwise, it would go against his profile. And he could lose points and potentially lose additional pickups for food and whatnot. So I have a problem with the way it's being handled. And I think we're going to start seeing minimum wage laws come around. So I think Lyft and Uber, you guys are going to have to tighten your buckles, maybe stop paying your big guys so much money and figure out how to run a more lean ship. And when you do that, then you'll be able to operate. But I think there's just a lot of waste of money from what's going on. You don't treat your workers fairly. And if you can't even pay the minimum wage, you guys don't deserve to be in business. I am so sorry about that. I mean, it's not like you're not making the money. You are making the money. You're just crying. So I have no mercy for you guys, Lyft. I have no mercy for you guys, Uber. And if it's up to me, I'm pretty much going to be staying away from you guys. Because even the services are more money. I don't want to support a company that doesn't care about people. They care about a minimum wage, care about a living standard. I don't want to help somebody like that. I don't want to pay some hefty guy's big overpaid salary. I don't care what he makes, but I don't want to help contribute to that. If they can't even do the right things for drivers, how are they ever going to be a good company? Just saying. So on May 1st, Lyft and Uber will leave Minneapolis. Now, people have asked me, will Lyft and Uber leave New Jersey soon too? Well, they're starting to notice a decrease in rides. And there's no more surge on Uber. And people were making $40, $50 an hour and above. They're lucky they're making $15. The average salary of a Lyft driver, believe it or not, as of March 10, 2024, the average hourly pay for a Lyft driver in New Jersey, you ready, ladies and gentlemen? It's not even minimum wage. It's $14.83 an hour. While places like other hiring boards have salaries as high as $19.77, and you don't have to put wear and tear on your car. That's crazy. So I think we're going to see that the Lyft industry is going to change. I think we're going to see that I think Lyft and Uber will be leaving more cities soon. Because if what they did in Minneapolis spreads, which I'm sure it will, they're not going to like it. It could hurt a lot of people. But you know the funny thing is, I don't think Lyft really cares about the people. They just care about their fat wallets. And we know that Lyft CEOs are overpaid. The Lyft CEO takes blame. Lyft CEO David Rischner for extra zeros in Q4's earning release. Now, people ask, well, how much does a CEO of Lyft make a year? Are you ready for the number, ladies and gentlemen? Try not to choke when I give you his number. Mr. Rischner is making a measly $725,000 per year. In the 1990s, Rischner managed a database product launch at Microsoft from 1991 to 1997 and worked as a senior vice president of marketing and merchandising at Amazon from 1997 to 2002. According, this is to his LinkedIn page. So he could earn a $1 billion payday. Lyft has done some interesting things. And I feel that they are not treating their people right. Lyft and Uber are just not treating their people right. But I think the drivers need to speak up. I think that's what it's got to come down to. They got to speak up. They got to say something and say, look, we don't want to be treated like this anymore. We want to be treated like human beings. And everyone has the right to be treated by human beings. But when you take away their ability to live, you take away their sustainability, that is a serious problem, ladies and gentlemen, a really serious problem. So I'm glad to see they're leaving Minneapolis. I hope more laws will pass that they'll be out of Jersey, that they'll be out of New York. And frankly, I hope they'll be out of the entire country in another year or two. Because I think they're just a bad company. They might have had some value. I don't know if you guys know this. You can actually get a train or a bus, a little bit of inconvenience, but you could get a bus, the same destination, for something that might have cost you $85. You could do that same thing for probably about $24. And it's healthier on the environment, less emissions. All right, guys, let's move on to the next topic. A lot of great, juicy topics here. Europe's groundbreaking AI regulations. This is amazing. So what happened is, you know, the European Union's always, they're always the first for everything, right? We know it. They're always the first. But Europe's world first AI rules get final approval from lawmakers. The first ones out ever. the first ones ever. So the European Union approves the first, I'll call it the first round of AI rules. And the world's first major act to regulate the AI passed by the European lawmakers. The EU Parliament, not too long ago, approved the world's first major set of what they call regulatory ground rules to govern the mediatized artificial intelligence at the forefront of tech investment. Now, you might say, John, this doesn't mean much, but yeah, it does. Because if everything predicates on media, everything, okay, then this is where we got to sock them, right? We got to get them in the media. And if we can control and regulate media and every other industry that uses interfaces or has to deal with media will be affected. Here's another interesting one, ladies and gentlemen. Cyber attacks are now targeting school students. This is like crazy. Now you might say, geez, so why are new hackers, I should say, after school students' data? Well, this is going to sound very interesting, right? So school system data, which we know is not very well protected. They've got special education records, medical histories, and hackers can, yes, threaten to hostage this type of information, also to release sensitive information if the districts don't pay a ransom, as they did in Minneapolis. We learned that. The data can also be used to steal a child's identity. Now, the main thing they're after is not really about their sensitive data. What they're really after, I'll tell you what the truth is. The truth that they're after is not what you think. They're after latching onto that kid so that they can get their information so that when they do become someone that has a portfolio, they can then go after them. The consequences of the data breaches can follow students well into their adulthood. And, you know, school districts depend more on technology. Cyber attacks against those systems and the sensitive data they store, they're on the rise. And it's hard to know exactly how many K-12 school systems have been targeted by hackers. And no one's going to tell you. And it's interesting because you just figure that it's not going to be an issue. It's only kids. What kind of data do they have? Their birthday, their, you know, what do they have? You know, they're 7, they're 8. What kind of data they have? It's so important. And so maybe you know that the kid has scoliosis or maybe you know the kid has cancer. Yes, that is a problem. But I don't see that as something that is going to be enough for bad actors to want to exploit it. For ransomware, I don't think so. Because they're like, who cares? Nobody even knows the kid, right? But what they do want to do is learn about the kid, learn about their portfolio, learn about how they're connected. And then as they get older, they start to just leech onto them and everything they do. And pretty soon, you've got a big brother that grew up watching you as a spy that you didn't even knew you had. And when you're least likely to expect it, he'll be there to reach in and take what you thought was yours. All right, let's move on, ladies and gentlemen. This is a really cool one. So I don't know if you heard about this one. There was a Florida man, and there's a lawsuit he brought against General Motors and LexisNexis. So let's talk a little bit about this, because I think this is just like, this is an amazing thing. And I'll tell you that it's something that we would not expect, right? And the reason I say we would not expect it is because it's not, how can I say, it's off the beaten path. It's off the beaten path. And so that's the thing. So this gentleman, he buys a car, okay? He buys a car. Basically his name was Romeo Chico, if I remember correctly, and he wanted to get insurance. I think it was basically last December, and 7 companies rejected him. He eventually did obtain insurance from one company, and it was nearly double the rate he was previously paying. According to a federal complaint filed this week, he's now seeking a class action lawsuit status. It was because his 2021 Cadillac XT6 had inadvertently, without his permission, been spying on him. Modern cars have been called smartphones with wheels. Well, because they are connected to the internet and packed with sensors and cameras, according to the complaint, an agent at Liberty Mutual told Mr. Chico that he had been rejected because the information in his LexisNexis report, LexisNexis Risk Solutions, a data broker, had traditionally kept tabs for insurers on drivers moving violations, prior insurance coverage, and accidents. When Mr. Chico requested his LexisNexis file, it contained details about 258 trips he had taken in his Cadillac over the past 6 months. His file included the distance he had driven, when the trip started and ended, and an accounting of any speeding and hard braking or accelerating. The data had been provided by General Motors, the manufacturer of his Cadillac. In a complaint against General Motors and LexisNexis Risk Solutions filed in the U.S. District Court for Southern District of Florida, Mr. Chico accused the companies of violation of privacy and consumer protection laws. The lawsuit follows a report by the New York Times that unknown to consumers, automakers have been sharing information on their driving behavior with the insurance industries, resulting in increased insurance rates for some drivers. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's pitiful that somebody would just do that. And, you know, everything in our world, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about numbers. It's all about money. And if somebody can figure a way, we all know they use things like, you know, FICA scores and other types of scores. But if they can figure some way to make something worth more, they'll do it. If they can figure a way to make something worth less so they can pay less, they'll do it. In this case, they want to pay more because they figure that you were potentially at a risk. I think we as consumers, as business owners, we have to understand that our data is our information, okay? It's our, we call it PI, personal information. Health data is PHI, personal health information. And if you guys remember, I've talked about something before called HIPAA. You might as well know what HIPAA is. I know I've talked to you guys about before. It's Health Insurance Portability Accountability Act. And what it basically states, came in 1996, that the data obtained would be basically kept under wraps and not shared with anybody that was not previously authorized without notice and writing. Health Insurance Portability Accountability Act, HIPAA, like HIP and then AA. But I think it's terrible how many companies are exploiting and thinking it's okay that we can just grab people's data, even if it's not okay. I got to tell you that I am really appalled at Google. Google, they're the worst. They spy on you. And I told you, I use DuckDuckGo and I very rarely use their search engine. I just feel that they are this machine that wants to just use your data and churn it into money. They have no regard for your feelings, my life, or what we do. All they look at, ladies and gentlemen, is that our data is a number. It's a number. And if the data is a number and you're a number, then you have a value. And they can either A, get more money for you because of your value, or get less money for you, right? This is what they do with health insurance. This is what they do with car insurance. We've just seen this. But this is illegal, ladies and gentlemen. Using information against your permission is illegal. You might say, well, gee, you know, I signed some. That's baloney. It's baloney. Just like I want to share something with you guys. Did you know that it is against the law, ladies and gentlemen, you can record someone in a public place, but you cannot. It is against the law. Let me say this to you guys right now. It is against the law. You may not. Let me say this again. You may not record someone's audio in a public place without a sign. So what I want to talk about, New Jersey is a one-party recording state. Florida is a two-party consent state, which requires every person in the private conversation to consent to being recorded. The only conversation that can be recorded without permission are in public places with no expectation of privacy. Now, that's different. In New Jersey, okay, it's a different law. Yes, in New Jersey, you may not record someone's order without their consent. So New Jersey makes it a crime to intercept or record an in-person or telephone conversation unless one party in the conversation consents, which is why we say it's a one-party recording state. Thus, do check your laws for different states of recording. I had just had a message in. I'll be happy to answer it. California. Is California a two-party consent state? Recording consent state. So California's wiretapping law is a two-party consent law. Okay. I had another one. I think we had another one, but you guys can look these up. Connecticut is a one-party. New Jersey is a one-party. How about New York? New York, ladies and gentlemen, is a one-party. I had another question here. You said Massachusetts. Massachusetts is a two-party. All right. I know somebody had another question here, didn't they? Yep. So the next question somebody had to me, Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania is a two-party. Delaware, right? Delaware, two-party consent. So two-party consents are California, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Washington. Everyone in a conversation must agree to be recorded or be informed that the call is being recorded. And I think people need to realize that we can't use technology to abuse people's privacy. And it's so easy to do. And I don't know if people do it intentionally or if they do it just because they can. So if you're getting cameras in your office or your home and they have, you know, let's say microphones on them. If you are putting these in your home, okay, and they're a public area, if one person knows about the conversation, which is you, but you have to be present in the conversation. So if I just leave cameras around and no one else in my office knows that they're being recorded, well, I broke the law. If I'm there and I'm in the conversation, one party knows about it. One party in the conversation, all right? Okay. So we'll have to see what's going to happen about this Florida man, but this is just absolutely terrible. So Duvel, how many of you guys know about Duvel? All right. Well, Duvel had a very interesting situation. Yeah. So Duvel's production of beer went down the tubes because of a cyber attack. Now, the thing about this is the production at the four breweries, which is owned by the Belgian beer firm Duvel, D-U-V-E-L, had a ground to halt after the cyber attack. And the ransomware came in during the night. And five of its production facilities were shut down. One had come back online. Duvel said, quote, it was currently unable to give further details as the investigation into the cause of the cyber attack is ongoing, close quote. They also said their built-in command systems and alarms and the IT systems work well, so our IT department was immediately informed of the attack, the company said in a statement. Now, okay, but you weren't able to prevent it. So I wouldn't be too happy to brag about the fact that your systems work so well. It just informed you that you were basically being taken advantage of. And so, you know, we don't realize what it means when we talk about attack. You know, we think about things very commonly like a bank. We talk about things like a restaurant because we know about these things. We talk about things like, you know, hospitals because we can't access the data. But it affects everywhere. Whether we're talking about the pharmacy, we've seen pharmacies that got hit, right? But it happens everywhere. It could happen at an airport. Anywhere there is data, okay, and it's not properly secured. It's not a question of if, but when, if it's not properly protected. And having alarms that just say, hey, things are going haywire, that's nice, but it really doesn't protect you. All right, let's move on to the last story of the evening, but I thought that was really cool about Duvel. Our last story of the evening is Ofcom. Ofcom's finding on children exposure to violent content. this one, ladies and gentlemen, was very, very interesting in this story. Why? Because this comes from a pretty known source. And they title Encountering Violent Online Content Starts at the Primary School. So children describe violent content as unavoidable online. Teenage boys are more likely to share violent material to fit in with their peers. Algorithms, group messaging, fuel exposure. Children's willingness to report harmful content undermined by lack of trust in the process. Let me say that again. Children's willingness to report harmful content undermined by lack of trust in the process. They don't want to rat on their friends. They don't want to be a snitch. Children first see violent online content while still at primary school and describe it as it's inevitable. It's part of being online. It's part of life. People are going to kill. People are going to this. People are that. Okay. Yes, it happens in the world, but that doesn't mean that should be your norm. That doesn't mean it's okay for it to happen. I think there's a difference between, yes, it happens in the world, but this is not my world. This is not part of my allowance. Yes, it happens, but it's not happening in my watch. I'm going to be vigilant, okay? Violent 18-plus gaming content, verbal discrimination, and fighting content are commonly encountered by children many speak to. And sharing videos of local schools and street fights has become the norm for many children. And for some, this is because of a desire to build online status and fit in with their peers and followers. For others, it's just to protect themselves from being labeled as different or not, you know, part of the in crowd. Some children mention seeking extreme graphic violence, including gang-related content, much less frequently, but it's there. And it can be found on things like the dark web. And none of the children that you'll probably talk to in just a random basis may have access to it to themselves directly, but they get it from other people. You might say, well, gee, my Johnny, my Michael, my Susie, you know, they're innocent. They might be very innocent and they might not do anything, but it might be brought into their arms, right? This is why it's always important to teach the fact that, you know, a weapon's a gun, they could be dangerous. So we need to educate people. What do you do if this comes in? How do you handle it? Know what it is. Don't be scared of it. But know what to do, because if you don't, it could hurt you. But respect it, right? And there was a great thing I want to share from a doctor who had been on our show a couple times before. And it stands for odor. And this doctor is amazing. It's a psychology disorder is how he determines it. And it's O-D-D-O-R, and it stands for online. Remember, it's online distress dictates offline response, if I remember right. That's what it was. Yeah, it's offline distress dictates online response. And I've got to give credit to Dr. The wonderful man. He is an amazing gentleman, and he really cares about the stuff he does and all these great things. Dr. Nucitelli, amazing man. And so odor. So let me read it to you again. It is offline distress dictates online response. So if we have things happening in our schools or in our worlds, and now we suddenly, okay, go online, we become that Jekyll from Hyde, right? We go to that other personality. And it might seem like something that, oh, that's not going to be my kid. Well, I get it, but let me ask you this. What happens if you become very stressed? Do you ever think about things, not that you would do anything wrong, but did you ever get frustrated? Sure you do. So it's important to understand when these signs happen, what do you do to protect yourself and protect others? I think that is the most important thing, regardless of where we're talking about people's data, where we're talking about the sensitivity of the data. I think that's a very, very important thing. Cyberspace is an extension of human consciousness. And this comes to us from Dr. Nucitelli, who's amazing when he talks about And so he also brings another point out that Carl Jung's concept of mythology and fantasy drive all cognitive, perceptual, behavioral, and affective process in the criminal and cyber criminal mind. So understanding that offline distress dictates online response, odor, we're not going anything you smell. It happens because of something the person is going through every day. And then they get online and they become Joe, they become Mark, they become this avatar, they become something that's not who they are in life, but they put these other behaviors out into this avatar, into this fictitious person. They go, well, I'm just this person, I'm not. But really, they're not any different. They're still acting themselves. They just change their name or change what they look like, but they're still acting out very bad things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'm John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur, and you know it has been an amazing privilege. I'm sure you guys know this, an amazing privilege, pleasure and honor to be with you this fantastic evening. I hope you'll definitely like, love, support the channel. Comment below. Tag your friends, colleagues, and associates. Share this out with everyone you know on social media. I'll catch you guys in another show real soon, but do be sure to show me some love. Follow me on TikTok and all the great stuff, and I'll catch you guys real soon. All right, everyone, I thank you so much. Remember, everyone, technology is a tool. It's not good. It's not bad. It's how we choose to use it that makes it so. And if we remember that, and we remember that our information is vital and how we share it, and if we're, let's say, vigilant of that, we'll have a much better life, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and I'll see you guys next week. All right, everyone? Take care and be well, everyone. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next week, which is going to be the last Friday of the month, which will be March 29th. I'll see you then, everyone.